I've always questioned, even when I was younger, why, if mothers are so important, why they have fishing opener on Mother's Day weekend? Can never figure that one out. Amen? Some mothers can't figure that one out. But anyway, it is what it is. So I don't know if they'll catch any fish today or not. I think I want to give people a chance to say their mother's name and a little testimony quickly, if you want to do that. Anybody feel up to doing that? You got a testimony about your mother? The importance of your mother? There's a young lady way up there. Is this thing up? Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. You said just say my mom's name and...
Yeah, say your mother's name and anything you want to say about her, why, even though you want to hit her sometimes.
My mom's name, she's right back there, you guys know, Miss Margareta Gaines-Curior. You guys know I'm like my mom's... Not favorite, but I'm always next to her. You know, whenever you find her, you find me. And, you know, I really love my mom. And I love my grandmothers and my aunts and all the women in my family, because I have a lot of women in my family as well. But, you know, the past couple years, you know, going to college for me at the beginning, and my mom really was there for me when it was really... Hallelujah. I had some hard times, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's still there for me, you know, even when I'm, you know, giving her trouble or being disrespectful to her certain times. And, you know, I'm just really, really grateful for her. And I know you guys here appreciate my mom as well.
Amen.
But I just want it to be known that, you know, I really feel like I'm my mom's biggest fan. You know, I'm her biggest supporter. I feel like I love her the most.
Amen.
You know? So
amen.
Just wanted to say that.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Anna. It's good to be blessed by their mothers, fathers, but anyone else? Oh, who? Lee? No fighting, no. Okay.
All right, well, you guys know that a couple of years ago, my mother went to be with the Lord. Her name was Audrey. Now, my mom, even though she didn't know the Lord until just before she died, she was like mom to the whole neighborhood. Every person that I know, all my friends called her mom. She gave advice to both boys and girls that came over to the house to visit. She bailed me out of get into here when I was young and a teenager. She was there for me during the most emotional times. And it wasn't just as a child. She was there right up until the very end, right up until the last day, the day she died. I saw her on the day she died, and she was, you know, in that nursing home, and I asked her what she was up to. This was about 2 hours before she died, and she said, "Hey, no good." That's kind of just how she was. Funny. She had a great sense of humor. I loved my mom with all my heart, and I grieve my mom still. I miss her terribly, but she was a wonderful woman, and I thank her.
Thank you. There's a time limit.
All right, my mother is Terry Hitt here.
Yay.
I refer to her as Mom, though. I don't call her Terry. My mom means so much to me. Even when I was young and rebellious and disobedient, she never stopped praying for me. She never stopped praying for my soul. She never stopped praying for my path in life. And even to this day, she still prays every day for me. And I'm so thankful for her because of her prayers. You know, I am now back. You know, there's a time I fell away, but I'm back with the Lord. I've been with the Lord for many years. You know, it was because of my mom's prayers. And I love my mom so much. I thank you so much for everything you've ever done and said. And I talk to her every single morning without failure.
Almost
without failure. Yeah, that's right. If I go to work at 4 in the morning, I don't call her because that will be a failure. So, but I love her tremendously. She's somebody that I can talk to during the hard times, and she's so understanding. And I just love you so much, Mom, and you mean the world to me. I also want to give a shout-out to my mother-in-law, who is very supportive, loving. I love her so much, too, as well. She can't be here today, but I love her very much. So.
I had to run. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Happy Mother's Day to all the female in the house. I really had to come up and say something, though, because Hannah spoke about us having a lot of female in our family, but there is a group of people here in this church, women that are very, very, very dear to me, very, very dear, and I've become even closer during Bible study, and I'm talking about Sister Bonnie and Sister Diane and Sister Elise. Oh my goodness, I love Sister Elise. I don't think she even knows how much I love her. Sister Mirtes and sisters that come to Bible study. Sister Sandy, we have become so close in studying the word. Tina, you know, and we get the chance to just express, talk about woman thing as the Bible speaks to us. So I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you for being a part of my life and for the group of sisters here that has been so, so dear to me over the years. Sister Ruth, who pray for me, and Amy, you guys who have been so supportive. You've been there when I've been through my downtime, and you know, and so I want to say happy Mother's Day to Melissa for loving Abigail as her own. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate express it today. Thank you. Thank you. And if I didn't call your name, I love you.
Way back in the corner with the Nesbitts. You're too young to know that commercial.
I am too young. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't usually get on this microphone to talk, so give me a second. My mom always told me when I was growing up, my mom, she's not visible, but she's back there. She hears me. My mom always told me growing up that, like, I'm not your friend, but when you're an adult, we can be best friends.
Yeah.
And now that I'm an adult, I really feel like my mom is my best friend. And it's a little different now. I'm moved out, and, you know, I miss the little things. Every morning I'd go into her room and talk to her and cuddle with the dogs, but, you know, mostly just get my mom time. And, you know, it's going to need some adjustment, but I love my mom so much. And I'm so grateful for you and everything you've taught me. You taught me how not just, you know, be a woman, but also be a wife. And, you know, I'm so grateful for you.
Yeah.
Love you.
Thank you, Ellie.
All right, so my mom died when I was 15 from MS. And then I was 8, she took care of me and raised me to be a great woman. And she poured her life into me. Both of them are now in heaven. And now I have a spiritual mom. Diana, thank you. Thank you for pouring your life into me. I appreciate it. Every other woman in here that has poured their life into me, thank you. The prayers and the talks have really changed my life. And without you guys in my life and without God, I don't know where I would be.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. Say something nice.
I'll give you 5 later. I just want to say thank you to my mom. She is a wonderful lady. I'm going to get teary-eyed because we've been through a lot together over the years, Mom and I have. But we were just talking the other day just how important moms are, and I just am so thankful to the Lord for my mom who, well, we've had our little tiffs here and there, as any mother and daughter does. I have such a wonderful mom who is just always been there for everything in my life, Mom, literally everything, and being able to share things with you that I haven't been able to share with anyone else. And most importantly, Mom, just your love for the Lord. And I know I've said it before, to something about having a mom that loves the Lord and prays for you, because I know that I'm standing here today because my mother was on her knees praying for me, because I could have easily probably gone the other way. And I just believe and know that God heard her prayer and that I'm living my life for the Lord today. So moms, when you get discouraged and maybe see your child going a different direction and not serving God, never give up on your prayers for your child, because I believe that I'm a testament of my mother's prayers over the years. And like Allie said too, kind of similar, you know, your mom isn't your friend when you're a child, but they sure are your best friend when you're an adult and always there, and you just share a different kind of relationship. So I love you, Mom, and I just want to say thank you for everything, and even when I was a brat growing up.
And I was a referee at times. So. I want to take one more after Angie, if there's anybody else. I'd like to do this all day.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. You know, I just think, certainly I'm thinking, what can I say about my mother? Her name was Lottie Brazan, and she had 5 children. I know she cared and loved for all of us, but one thing I remember, it just come back to me. When I was small, I was kind of clumsy. I used to break, sometimes I was washing dishes and they would break. She said, when you're touching anything, just say, Lord, put your hands before mine. And, you know, from today, I keep remembering that. Even while I'm driving, I would say, Lord, put your hand and your foot before mine.
That's good. Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. So my mother's name is Celita Estelita Charles, all the way in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I bless the Lord for my mom. She was there when I was growing up. She had a lot of challenges, physically, mentally, things that she couldn't really do for us, but she'd do her best to be the best mom she can. I felt heartbroken at times, because when I see her, even this morning, I know there is certain bondages going on in her life. I'm trusting the Lord that he will break them and bring her through. And I know he will, because he kept her this far by his grace and by the richness of his mercy. And I remember this morning I was praying for her, and I told her I love you, and I appreciate all she has done for us. And I remember when I was growing up, one thing my mom said, you know, she was kind of private. In the Caribbean, parents can be like private. They don't tell you certain things. They don't think. So, but my mom, I remember when she mentioned one time to me, I wish I was able and capable to give you guys everything I can. And that was the most touching, the most wonderful, the most sweet. And it covers anything I felt for her. From that day forward. And I never hold anything against her, because I believe her. Even though she couldn't do those things she wanted to do, I believe her. And I bless the Lord for her. And I pray the Lord will increase her in healing, in health, and deliverance. I pray the anointed of God will break all the yoke over her life. And I just want to say, God, thank you for even my grandparents. They played a very vital role as grandparents in my life, especially my both grandparents were praying grandmothers. I saw them pray for their grandchildren and the world and people around them, so I bless the Lord for that. Amen?
Amen.
My mom's name is Evelyn, and she passed away in 2017. But there was 4 boys and 3 girls in the house. And boy, I tell you, we went through windows. Like you wouldn't believe, there was a lot of motion going on in that house. But my mom was always praying. She is always praying, even on her ding. And she was talking to people about the Lord. And I love her so dearly, as my brother can testify. That was a growing up. But boy, she held it together. She held it together, so I want to thank her for that.
Amen. Me and my mom didn't get along up until I was
I don't know, about 40 years old. It was really a hard relationship. But when I came back full on, there was a connection that was just a miracle. I went on my first missions trip, and my mother, who had never given me anything, it was a really hard relationship, gave me the most money. And when I came back, God had spoken to me overseas in India that it was his call on my life to be a missionary long term. And would I go? And I said yes, it was my dream come true. I came home and my mom said, "You're going back, aren't you?" And after that, she was my best supporter. She had a connection right to heaven with me on the other side of the world that is just a miracle. I would call, I would be having a hard time, and she was my personal intercessor, my financial help, and we were best friends after such a hard time. And she would say, "Are you okay?" And she knew, without me saying anything, if I was going through a hard time, God would just tell her to pray for me. She's in heaven now. I just want to say thank you to my mom.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moms are important. Hallelujah. So I'll say that again. Happy Mother's Day. I remember my mom, Theodora May, had problems in life. Every mother does. Some mothers have harder struggles than others. But a mother has a purpose. My message today, a mother's role is a calling from God. It's a calling from God. It's so important. And somebody will say, "Well, a father is too." I'll get to the father next time. But anyway, a mother's role is a calling from God. It's a very important one today. And it's sad to see today how the devil has attacked motherhood in our nation and around the world, trying to destroy that, because a mother really represents our Lord too, and raising children and what she does, vitally important. And but this day means different things, and they walk in so many different emotions, as you can hear, different things. But I think we need to really be focused on the fact that mothers, God intended to be the nurturers in the family. They say in war, one soldier said in war, when they were in the foxholes, like during World War II, they get hit by a bomb or a grenade or something and they got injured. He said they didn't cry out, "Dad." They cried out, "Mom, Mom, Mommy." That's what they cried out for. So you can see how important a mother is. Bad mother, we're to honor mothers. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
So, but for some, it's a day of sorrow. Some don't have your mothers, as we've heard this morning, as well as mine and my wife's. Their mother's gone too, and they're no longer here. And some are suffering pain of lost childhoods because of circumstances. A child who no longer is with them, they suffer the pain of that. Or they haven't seen for some time, maybe haven't seen the mother for a long, long time because of problems in the family. All kinds of things happening out there. And for others, they've never really had a good relationship, as we heard this morning too. But God knows how to restore. God restores relationships. And so it's hard because some people don't want to be reminded of their mothers. They don't even want to hear their names. But I want to encourage people, if there's anybody listening on social media, because I always keep in mind that people are watching us. Many, many hundreds of people are watching us. And I always want to keep in mind to tell you that God requires us to forgive. if you're a Christian, whether you have it in your heart or not, God tells us if we do not forgive those who have hurt us, harmed us, or whatever, He will not forgive us. And if you've had a mother that has been a difficult mother and there's still that strain before you, just tell the Lord, even if you don't feel like it, do it because our Heavenly Father asked us to. Amen. That's why we do it. God will do something. He doesn't release people of whatever the problem is, but He does something in the person that forgives. Amen? And sometimes it's really hard to forgive if you've been hurt, but that's what God requires. And for others, they've had difficulties with a mom and they've harbored those guilt and shame for maybe some wrong decisions that they've made or their children may have made. Maybe the mother wasn't the best mother raising a child. But you know something? Still your mother. Still your mother. And God knows how to restore. A few layers of everything that can happen. I'm determining of something here, but I want to encourage mothers today that you may say, I've failed and struggled in so many areas of the life of my children. But you have a loving Heavenly Father. Always remember that. He's a loving Heavenly Father. No matter if you beat yourself up, condemnation, whatever, God is a loving, forgiving Heavenly Father. Now, I know the younger people, again, might not know this name. I know that there are no June. The ones who laughed, I know the person. There, you know, it still amazes me on Leave It to Beaver. That's, you know, June Cleaver. How she can get up in the morning, get her hair in perfect condition, wear designer clothes, evidently, or whatever she's wearing, with high heels, all makeup, and go out and cook breakfast for them when the boys and the dad come down for breakfast every morning. Now, we know that's Hollywood, right? Yes. I don't ever remember my mother doing that. But you know something? It represents, and in Scripture, we see a mother's role. It is a calling from God. It truly is. And we're, again, to honor mothers, no matter what. And a calling from God where she lives with reverence, a mother. I know is what I really want to put across so I'm not offending anybody in a way. I'm not afraid to offend people in a good way. But I don't want to offend anybody by saying if you're a mother and you didn't have a very good time or maybe your mother, whatever the case is, I'm going to cover the things with a godly. Maybe mothers can glean from something out of that also and improve your life. Because we're never too old, are we? Yeah. We're never too old to learn anything. And I want to just be careful with that. But I do need to talk on what a godly mother should be and is in the eyes of God. So as I speak on this, a godly mother, she reflects godly character and shapes her home according to biblical truth that she's a Christian mother. In Scripture, mothers are not only honored, but they are also revered as foundational pillars of the family and community. As children, we're growing up, we don't learn to appreciate our mothers the way we should. But as we get older, we get by the... Because mothers were not called to be friends of a child, right? They're called to be a mother. But when a child gets up into their adulthood, they're 18 and on beyond, then it's time they can be a friend to their mother also. They can share things and problems and issues of life, and the mother will understand, and the daughter or son will understand. But there's a unique capacity to nurture love and lead with compassion that reflects a profound part of God's nature. A mother does. There's something about a mother. I tell you, I remember growing up, whenever we got sick and we didn't feel good, we stayed home from mom coming on and putting her hand on our foreheads. That always was so comforting, so soothing. When dad come in, it didn't mean a whole lot. And get out of bed. Mom was always nurturing. and always concerned about it and everything. And you always remember that you always loved the feel, the touch of a mother's hand when you didn't feel good. Jesus here gives us a surprising image to God compared to a mother hen offering a profound look into nurturing and protective love that God extends to everyone unconditionally. Luke 13:34, he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, bonus them that are sent unto thee. How often would I," now this is God the Father saying this, "how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth her gathered her brood under her wings, and ye would not." That's our Lord. That's how he takes care of you and I, his desire to nurture us and to love us. And no matter what kind of a person we are, whether we're a mean, ornery little brat, hard to get along with, whatever, God's unconditional. He loves us. And a mother actually is the same way. I mean, you know, I got an identical twin brother. I'm the better looking one. But we knew Mom loved us equally. And even the problems we caused, as some of you have too, if you admit it, growing up, Mother still loved us, as hard as we were to get along with. But I thank God for my mother too because of that. A teacher didn't dare pick on us if it wasn't right. They knew Mom was coming. But God created motherhood with a purpose and deep spiritual value. So Paul's letter to Titus, young Titus, a pastor, he's giving him instructions how to lead the church, the community that he was in charge of. It says in Titus chapter 2, age women. And you know, when I was reading this, looking at it, is what Paul and Titus were trying to do is to bring a bond between the older women and the younger women in the church. There's value there. Did you know that? I told you before, like when we became Christians in our early 20s, my wife and I, we got into a church just like this one, a smaller church. And my wife had issues that maybe I wouldn't understand or whatever, but I remember her telling me that she would go to one of the older ladies in the church and pour out her heart. And that older lady would give her comfort and give her direction because she lived that life already and she was able to help my wife through some difficult times. Church is so high value, but so are the young women too. And altogether, I know when Sandra said that, she appreciated certain women in the church that she's got acquainted with, and we understand that. But I also know that lady loves every woman in this church. Amen. As we should, amen? Yeah. So here's what it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 3 and 5. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, no wine, I'd like to input, that's a different sermon. Some people want to use that. Okay, I get the nip the bottle. Another sermon. Teachers, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Wow. Some instructions there, huh? And I know there might be some women say, "Hey, obedient to my husband? Are you kidding?" Yeah, no, I'm not. That's what God said. It doesn't mean the husband's better than the wife, does it? At all. She's just got a different role than the husband does. But God has, in everything, there's a leader. In business, there's a leader. Government, there's a leader. Somebody has to be a leader to keep organization and things straight. God chose the man to be the priest of the home, to guide and lead his family. But the mother's role is to be the nurturer and the protector and forming that home. A very vitally important one. Discreet here actually means self-controlled, sober temperament. The word chaste means innocent, modest. This needs to be mentioned, by the way. I was debating whether I'm going to say it. A godly mother teaches her children modesty. Amen. Which is crucial nowadays even more than ever. Amen? Showing young people ways that are wise and honorable. That's what a mother's role is to do in the home too. They are also to understand how to honor God to themselves and others around them when they teach this. The pressure to wear inappropriate clothing bombards our daughters daily. Doesn't it? Do we not see it on TV and the magazines and even in the schools today and everything? Because that's what society, our culture, is doing to young women. Satan is trying to destroy them. Future mothers, leaders. And that's what the enemy's goal is. We see our young people, not only young people, even the older women too. And I'm just going to be honest with you. How many want honest? Yes. Low-cut tops, skin-tight leggings, very short dresses and skirts, short shorts. These images flood us today. That's to bring down women and to lose respect for women who they are created to be. And that's happening. A godly mother can teach her daughter, and that's the importance of a godly mother can do that. They should give them the map test. How many ladies have heard of the map test? I just found out about it. I'll introduce it to you. The map test means modest, appropriate, and proper. Test by asking herself these questions. The young girl asking, or woman, my clothing modest? Is it too tight or too low cut? If I sit down, will I constantly keep pulling my dress and skirt down? Number two, is my clothing appropriate? Is it suitable? Is it good and decent for what I'm going to be presenting or doing? Number three, is my clothing proper again? Is it right fitting and correct? Is it too revealing? Those are questions that a godly mother can have a daughter ask herself in order to keep herself respectful. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what the mother can instill within the son and daughters. A godly mother is a role model for the way she dresses. That's why it's important for a mother to think about the children that she's raising. How do I look to them? And a godly mother will think about what she's wearing or should be wearing or whatever. You know, I'm thinking, isn't it kind of weird in society today? And I'm not, and I know in our culture today, ladies wear dress slacks and things like that and blue jeans too, and that's the culture we live in. But isn't it something how we dress in dresses today? Trying to be women. I don't know if they had bad mothers or poor upbringings or what the problem is, but it's mental illness. And it's just got reversed. A godly mother is a role. Teaching not only the daughters, but also the sons is not only a sign of respect for oneself. I'll teach a young daughter, a young son, to respect themselves and others that are watching and seeing them, but also a way to demonstrate humility and self-control. Nancy DeMoss' book, Lies Women Believe, said this, dress and conduct yourself in a way that reflects your high holy calling. God has called you out of this world system. Don't let the world press you into that mold. Don't think, dress, or act like the world. Inwardly and outwardly, let others see the difference he makes in your life. Isn't that a true statement? Amen. That's so true. And I have to speak this out because there are people that I want to get this across that are watching that are living in different lifestyles and things too. And not having that ability to have a home where they're able to be told that. So I want to express that, anyone watching also, that's really important today. If you have a godly mother, had a godly mother, thank God for them. If you had a godly grandmother, still have a godly grandmother, great-grandmother, whatever, thank God for them. Thank God for them. And as your son was saying about you today, Terry, what an impact you had on the guy. You know, we can still slap him around. I mean, but you do that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. But he appreciates it because it does some good, right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Where? It means everywhere, doesn't it? Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest. Oh, the women aren't going to be happy here. This is Paul speaking. That women adorn themselves in modest apparel and shamefacedness. That means reverence and sobriety. Again, self-control. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or a costly array, but which becometh the women professing godliness with good works. Now, Paul isn't telling the women that they can't braid their hair. Gold, silver, whatever, or nice dress. He's not saying that you can't do it. Just don't overdo it. Just don't overdo it. So you draw attention to yourself. Then you're overdoing it. I told you the story when I was in Russia on missions. The four young ladies up there dressed in sparkly dresses, you know, little too short for what they were supposed to be up there for, and moving around. And afterwards, I mentioned to all four of them that you weren't there to worship God tonight. You were to draw attention to yourself, and they all started to cry. Because that's what they were doing. They weren't mentioned to themselves. That's what Paul is talking about. And that when you come to, especially serving the Lord, you come up, you're to glorify Him, not to draw attention to yourself. And today in the modern church, we see many young women and guys dressed in ways that I cannot believe that are standing up there, inappropriate, drawing attention to themselves on how they're dressing, how they look. And it takes away from worshiping God. But He's the one we're here today for, to worship Him. Amen. We're here today to worship Him and to say, Father, thank You for mothers today that are in this building and watching. Yes. We're here to honor You, Lord, because You created every single mother. Yes. For a person. They think they're a good mother or a bad mother, whatever. You love them exactly the way You created them. You desire for them to live for You and to be godly women. That's God's cry. To the women today, the young girls today. And I tell you what, you'll never go wrong serving Jesus. You'll never go wrong. I tell you, when you serve Jesus, you keep yourself out of places you should not be. Going with young girls, going with guys you should not be going with. Amen? It's too quiet in here. But Paul's emphasizing true beauty is inside. That's where God does the work. But if you're dressed on the outside inappropriate, doing things you shouldn't be doing, you lose that true beauty. People can't see that. You attract the wrong crowd. I always encourage young girls in ministry, wherever, don't dress to encourage people to look at you. We're in a dangerous world today. Today we can look on there on Fox News and see a screen with young women that one day would have been mothers that are dead today. Yeah. Not all of them, but some of them dress inappropriately and we're drawing the wrong guys to them. And that's dangerous, more so pornography. Women, godly mothers should teach their daughters how to dress appropriately because there's evil out in this world, amen? And a godly mother will protect her daughter and teach her and train her to dress and live the correct way. Because you do, if I understand being young, I know what young is. And I understand young ladies too, they want a boyfriend. But godly mothers need to teach the daughter what type of boy they should be going with. Amen? Some people may not like me saying that, but tough tomato. I care about people too. And it breaks my heart to see the young ladies that have been destroyed because they got mixed up with the wrong crowd, going to the wrong places, dating the wrong guys, because in many cases, the way they're dressed, they're attracting the wrong thing. And God warns against that. That's why it's in the scripture. That's why Paul told young Timothy, address that with the women. Because the women combine. That's why I like the young and old all in the same room. Because God brings a bond between all of us. And the older women hopefully learned, amen? And they're teaching it to the young. But just going, or as fast as I can, and that's really fast. She lives in reverence. A godly mother carries herself with holy respect toward God, and this reverence shapes her thoughts, her attitudes, and actions each day. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful. And beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. A godly woman should be praised and is praised. And when you see godly women, young girls and stuff that are living their life for the Lord, there's a beauty there that the she speaks what is good. A godly mother uses her words to teach truth, encourage others, and promote what honors the Lord. Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She's not harsh and rude, but she speaks kindness. A godly woman, she loves her family well. A godly mother shows steady care and deep devotion to her family, reflecting the love of Christ in daily life. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But mothers, love your daughters, love your sons, love your family. We're to love one another as the family of God also. She trains with godly wisdom. A godly mother instructs her family in righteous living, helping them to grow in discipline and purity and obedience to God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6:6-7, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt ask of them when they sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou rises up. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. She honors God in all. A godly mother seeks to please God in every action, making him the focus of her decision and daily priorities. Pointing to the Lord at all times, her children will see her pointing toward God. A godly mother. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, godly mothers, and I'm talking godly mothers today, Father, so don't get brave. I'll get you next time. We need to focus the fact that a godly mother will always put her thoughts and her child's thoughts toward that. If she sees that child, that daughter, that son erring, going another way than they should, she will not be afraid to direct that child to the Lord. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You know, children are going to be rebellious when they're growing up, aren't they? Not all, not some more than others, but they do. We're born with it. And some of them don't want to hear the things of God. Some don't want to read their Bibles. Some don't want to pray. But if they're in your home and they're below 18 years old, they do what you say. Amen. They should anyway. You teach them the Word of God. You teach them in a loving way, and a way that's showing them that you love them by doing that. And they say, I don't want any of this here religious stuff. Well, it's not religious anyway. It's a relationship with someone who cares about them. And a godly mother will always point their child to Jesus. Always will. She lives for God's glory. A godly mother directs her life toward exalting God, ensuring that her home reflects his goodness and truth. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what happens when we train our children toward God. But what makes mothers so special to him, to the Lord? Throughout the Bible, mothers are depicted as vessels of life, teachers of faith, and examples of sacrificial love. Boy, God places a lot on a mother, doesn't he, huh? From Eve to Mary, the role of a mother is not only central to the human story is intricately woven into God's redemptive plan for humanity. What a person sees in a godly mother is representing him in how she raises her children and lives her life. This is why mothers hold such a cherished place in the heart of God. Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. She was not only Adam's companion, but also the beginning of human creation. A role of equality with divine purpose Eve had. Motherhood by design is not just biological. It is spiritual, emotional, and deeply relational. God gave mothers the ability to carry life, but he also instilled in them the capacity for empathy, sacrifice, wisdom, and love. A true mother, a godly mother, will think of the children first before herself. She's not selfish. She will always be concerned about that child before herself. Even when they become adults, they'll always think about their children first. How are they doing? How can I make their life better? They'll always have that desire and want that child to be successful in life and living a life that they'll be blessed in. These attributes mirror God's own nature, making motherhood one of the clearest earthly reflections of divine love that there is. A godly mother represents our Heavenly Father. A mother's love reflects God's heart. One of the primary reasons God is because of their love mirrors his own. Because that's the way God loves you and I, unconditionally. That's the way a godly mother, a true godly mother, will love her children above herself. She will always be more concerned about the child more than herself. And that's the way God is about you and I. He loves us unconditionally, no matter what we do. And when we are going the different direction, it hurts his heart tremendously. But he's still going to give you the free will to go on and do whatever you want to do. That's why when my daughter got to the age of where she could make her own decisions, I said to her, you want to live like the devil? Now you're your choice. But our heart and desire for you is to live for the Lord. She knew that. And that's why we need to encourage them. In many places throughout Scripture, God likens his care and compassion to that of a devoted mother. For example, Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. See, God, the comfort of God, he gives us that comfort too. And a mother, as I said earlier, a mother knows how to bring comfort to a child. God intentionally compares his tender care to that of a mother, elevating the maternal role as one that embodies divine qualities, comfort. Additionally, Isaiah 49:15, God challenges the idea that a mother could forget her child. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God will never forget you. A mother may. Mothers aren't perfect. There are times when a mother may forget, but God promises you, if that happens, you can come to him. He will never forget you. Even though human mothers may fail, God suggests that maternal human bonds that he's put within a godly mother. And yet, his love goes even further. That comparison reinforces how deeply God values the role of a heart of a mother. The influence of a godly mother in Scripture, the Bible is rich. If you go through the Scriptures, it's rich with stories of godly mothers and the influence mothers had on their children. These women were not perfect either. None of them were. But they were purposeful. They had a purpose in life. Every mother has a purpose in this earth. And their actions often align with God's greater plan. Listen to Hannah, a prayerful mother. 1 Samuel chapter 1, 26, to God for a child. And she said, oh my Lord, as thy soul lives, my Lord, I am a woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Isn't he a good God? See, when God answers her prayer, she dedicates her son. She dedicates him. She dedicated Samuel to the Lord's service. 1 Samuel 1:28. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. That's what parents need to do. I talked to a young mother the other day, a little baby, and a couple actually. A couple little babies in the family. I said, you need to dedicate them to God publicly. Do it. Give them to God. Give them to God right there and then. You know, some mothers have a hard time letting their children go. Allie mentioned today how she had to leave home and mom had to let her go. Well, all the years of training and everything, you're hoping it pays off. Amen? Amen. But I tell you what, some mothers have a hard time letting them go, and they got to let go of them and trust God.
Amen.
He knows what he's doing. But her story teaches us that who seeks him in prayer. Hannah's faithfulness directly impacted the spiritual leadership of Israel. Think about that. As Samuel became one of the greatest prophets, Jochebed, a courageous mother. You remember the story of her, the Ten Commandments? The mother of Moses displayed tremendous courage by hiding her baby from Pharaoh's decree and placing him in a basket on the Nile at risk. She didn't want to put that little baby in a river, floating him down a river. But she knew she had to let him go no matter what the dangers were in the world, what the dangers were lurking in the water, in the reeds. It happened to that little son that she placed. But she says, God, he's yours. And God took care of him, didn't he? Anybody ever hear the name Moses? Her actions, motivated by love and faith, saved Moses' life and positioned him to later deliver Israel from bondage. You can read that in Exodus chapter 2. And it's estimated 6 million people Moses led out of Israel. God used her maternal instincts and bravery to shape the destiny of a nation. Mary, the chosen mother, we know who that is, don't we? God entrusted her, this young woman, with maternal role in history to raise the Savior of the world. That must have been something, huh? Her humility. See, a godly woman has humility. Godly women should have humility. And I know you men should, I already know that. I'm talking to women today. But godly women should have humility. See, we're in a time when women say, don't you tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And I'm just as good as a man. I can do what a man does. And they belittle themselves. A woman has a role to play as a woman, a mother. And the women. Satan wants to destroy the image of a woman. And we need to remember that. Man is no better than a woman. I've said that and I'll say it again. But we have different roles to play. And that's why humility. God used Mary. Humility. She had obedience to God. She listened. And strength in face of extraordinary circumstances made her a model of godly motherhood. A woman that tries to be equal with a man, it'll never work. They may think it does, but it doesn't. A woman is different from a man, no matter what transgender people tell you. Responsibility and a role to fulfill, and if she would read the Bible and follow God's way, she'd be a much happier woman too. God entrusts mothers with sacred responsibilities. Motherhood comes with immense responsibility, and God honors mothers by entrusting them with some of life's most sacred tasks in the world. Shaping the next generation. Just think about that. Mothers have the incredible opportunity to influence their children spiritually, emotionally, and morally. I believe that my wife had more impact on my raising my daughter than I did in that respect. I had a different role to play, but I believe because of the way she lived her life impacted my daughter the way she is today, not by a long shot. But a woman, I watched it through my own wife, how it impacted my daughter, just hearing her today too. That was because of her. That's why I know that God has his hand on women. No matter how hard the enemy will try to destroy, discourage, and to destroy a woman, a godly woman or a woman, God knows what he's doing. And he can restore. If you've been a mother and you haven't been feeling successful at it, whatever, God can restore that relationship with your children and help you to be the woman he created. I read it in scripture. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That doesn't say he's going to be saved and born again. But that child will remember mom's teaching. No matter good or bad, that child will remember its growth, and when it leaves home, things will come back to that child. I remember things that mom and dad taught me even at my age that will pop into my head that I gleaned from that helped me in life. And it's important what a godly mother, how she trains that daughter. And that son is watching her as well. Mother teachers of faith, instilling values and truth in their children. From a very early age, mothers start doing that. God recognizes these pivotal roles and blesses it with lasting impact when they're focused toward him. Instilling wisdom and compassion, the virtuous woman is portrayed. Proverbs 31:26 again, she opens her mouth with wisdom and her tongue is the law of kindness. Again, her tongue is not harsh, but always kind. It's so sad when I hear young girls and women, it's bad enough to hear guys, but it's so bad and so sad today when I hear women cussing and swearing, using foul, they're going to get even. That's not God's thoughts for a woman or even a man, but to hear a young lady do that, it's sad. But Proverbs says she opened her mouth with wisdom and her tongue is the law of kindness. Such traits are highly valued by God. That's why he put them in the Word. Cultivating loving homes and communities. See, today, young women's, women's lib gals trying to tell young girls, you don't want to raise a family. You don't want to have kids. That's not from God. That's from a selfish culture that we're in. Desire for women are to reproduce and have children and to raise children if they desire. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. Especially when you get older. Man, kind of nice to have a full-grown son or daughter do some of the things for you when you can't do them anymore, amen? Yeah. Starts to come to reality as you get older. A wise and compassionate mother is a blessing to her family and a reflection of God's character. You kind of see why Satan is always trying to destroy the woman, the mother. The command to honor mothers, because mothers are special to God, he commands that they be honored. He doesn't suggest it. He commands 12, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the only commandment in the Ten Commandments where there's a promise connected to it. Honoring mothers is just a cultural norm. It's a divine expectation. The Apostle Paul reiterates it in Ephesians chapter 6, 2 and 3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Well, I've heard testimonies from young ladies that talk about will get up when their life has gone the wrong direction and they've said, I would have listened to mom. I wish I would have listened to mom. I wish I would have listened to mom when she said, don't go there, don't go there. Be careful who you're hanging out with. Be careful how you're dressed, how people are looking at you. What are you trying to attract? Be careful. So many heartbreaks today. So many daughters that have gone the wrong way and look back and say, I wish I would have listened to mom. Mothers as partners in God's redemption story. From the beginning of Scripture to the life of Christ, mothers have been integral in God's plan of redemption. Think about that. Women like Eve, Sarah, Rebecca, Ruth, Elizabeth played that vital role. Jesus. Just think about that. Godly women. weren't perfect women, but God used these women to bring the lineage of Jesus Christ up to redemption. He used a woman. No matter the devil is trying to tell you and I that a man can have a baby. What a bunch of idiots. Wow. Anyway. Their faith and fortitude were not only personal achievements, they contributed to the spiritual destiny of generations to come. Mary in particular was called blessed among women. She's not to be worshipped, but she was blessed to be called the mother of God. The angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Just think about raising the Son of God. Doesn't make her holier than anybody. She was a sinner, lost, and needed a Savior just like everybody else. But God entrusted her with the Son of God. Because why? She was humble before him, and God knew she was obedient. It's not beautiful to see a disobedient child or a proud one. Nobody's going to order me around. It amazes me when I see that. It just blows me away when I see that happen in a home. A mother's prayer. Another reason mothers are special to God is the power of their prayers. Lee, you mentioned your mother. We all have mothers that prayed for us. My grandmother didn't know it at the time as a kid, but she was, I believe, a godly woman. She carried her Bible, didn't think nothing of it because we weren't Christians. We were just good Lutherans, wonderful Lutherans. But Grandma prayed for us. Maybe that's why I'm standing up here today. Maybe that's one of Grandma's prayers. I don't know. God hears the heart cry of a mother. Don't ever quit praying for your children, even as they become adults and they're walking through life and they seem like nothing will ever good come of them. Keep praying for them. God, believe me, he's got your prayer. He hears it. He's listening to a mother. Many children know their salvation, their protection, or direction in life, as I heard this morning too. Persistent prayer of a loving mother. Mothers don't ever quit. I know mothers that cry for themselves all the time, never for their children. Maybe if they turn herself away from themselves and start praying for their children, they would see that God would take care of them as a mother, because he loves the mother. God delights in those prayers. James 5:16, this is the last part of it. In the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. Don't get upset because I said man, that's mankind when you study it. Women and men. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A praying mother is a powerful force in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm that the mother cannot see, God is moving through her prayer. The devil that has attacked your children, attacked your home, attacked your marriage, whatever it is, go to God and pray. Her intercession can shape destinies and call down blessings from heaven. Man, there's a lot about mothers, huh? Yes. Do you want me to go through the other 5,680 words? Yes. So, mothers are special to God because they embody many of the qualities that he values most. Love, sacrifice, compassion, courage, and faith. He has chosen them to carry life, to shape souls, to demonstrate a kind of love that reflects his own. God sees the sleepless nights of a mother, the tear-stained prayers. God sees them all. He takes those tears and puts them in a bottle, Scripture tells me. And one day he'll tell Mom, "Mom, these are the tears you cried." And I'll tell you what every tear fell to the ground was about. Because he cares about the mother. Yes. Many mothers have done selfless things, as I said earlier. They've sacrificed things in their own life to make sure their children got the best. And the quiet sacrifices that the child will never know. Mothers have done things that a child will never know about them until they get to heaven, that they've done for their children. Dads ought to support the mother, helping to raise the child. God honors mothers in Scripture and in life. He commands others to do the same. He commands the father, the children to honor the mother. I'd like all of our mothers to stand. Most importantly, he walks beside them, offering them strength. God does. He's beside the mother, offering strength, wisdom, and grace. To be a mother is to be part of something eternal. And in God's eyes, there are a few roles more noble, more cherished, or more significant, is to be a mother. Don't ever take it for granted. If you've been, your children are raised, full grown, or don't ever take a mother for granted. Maybe your mother's gone to heaven, or don't ever take her for granted. Honor her remembrance. See, when our parents die, we're not to stop honoring them. We're to honor their memory, because they are the ones that God used to bring you and I into this. I'm going to ask if you would be so kind, the ladies, the mothers, to come forward, and even all the women, even if you don't have children. I just want women to come forward, because let me tell you why I'm asking all the women. Because if you've never had a child, or can't have a child, or you lost a child, God can use you in a church setting like this to be a mother to the young people. Did you hear that? Even like we got some really young teenagers here, super young. The younger kids, even down here, the young girls, do you know how many look at a teenage girl and say, wow, I want to be like them? That's why a woman is so vitally important. So vitally important. I'm just going to ask you before our Heavenly Father, because He's here today, always is. Just bow your head before Him, ladies. And you're standing before God, the Father, who chose you to be mothers, to be women, for a purpose. I'm going to pray this. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come before you. We thank you for your word and for your calling to give. You see every act of love. You see every quiet sacrifice and every faithful step. You've seen the pain in some mothers and the frustration and the anger. You understand it all, Lord. You created a mother for a purpose. Strengthen each mother here today, each woman, to walk in reverence, to say what is good, and reflect You every day, truly. Fill their hearts with peace, wisdom, strength, courage, home. Touch every mother and give them a sense of your presence, Father, your loving hand upon them. Help them to realize the importance in a world that's gone crazy, where a girl wants to be a boy or a boy wants to be a girl. Be thankful, ladies, here today that God created you a woman. He chose you to be a woman because He knows you. He desires to use you. Do not allow, the Lord would say, do not allow the enemy to lie to you. For you are precious in His sight as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother. A great-great-grandmother. Lord, we stand together with these mothers and ladies today, and Lord, we thank you. Thank you for these ladies, these women, these mothers. Thank you for them, Lord. We honor them today by bringing them before you and presenting them to you and saying, Lord, thank you for giving us. Those watching on social media, mothers, you're not missed. God sees you too. So, Lord, we surrender these mothers to you right now. I'm praying, Lord, that even the husbands, the fathers, the dads, the sons will begin to love their mothers and their aunts and a woman, Lord. The importance that they have in this world. We thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray it, and everyone shouted. And look at somebody, don't leave yet, but look at somebody today and say, I thank God for mothers. Verbally say it. Get it out of your mouth.
Ladies, please grab a rose before you leave today up front here.
Hey, could you? going to get up. Hey, Holly, come here. Layla.